Inside cover of the book, What God Wants, Neil says, be careful, this book is dangerous. I've never seen that put in a book before. Tell me about that.
Well, George, it contains ideas that are very, very dangerous if what people want is to maintain the status quo. If we are satisfied with life the way it is, if we are part of the establishment that is satisfied with life the way it is, if we are among those people in power who want nothing to change, who are leading us exactly where they want us to go, as many of your other guests have talked about, the book is dangerous. The book is also dangerous if we're on the other side of that line and among those people who want to shift and change things, because it brings forward, it espouses, it lays out a whole list of very, very dangerous ideas. And I think we are living in dangerous times. I don't want to be an alarmist. I don't want to sound like a sensationalist or an alarmist.
The sky is falling.
But, yeah, I'm not going to go there. But I do think that it would be foolhardy for us not to see the danger that we are facing, both from man-made and also from some environmental causes that are ultimately man-made anyway. So the book says this is a dangerous book because it is very clear that if humanity embraced the ideas in that book, everything would change. Now, I think everything would change for the better, and I believe that there are millions who would agree with me, but there are many other people, as I said, in places of power who would not agree with me, and those people do not want you to read that book.
No, that's true. That's true. They've got their own reasons for that, too, don't they?
Yes, which is, of course, the continuation of the system as it is, so that they can maintain their power. But you know what's really funny, and what's almost sadly funny, is that it's hard for me to believe that people who want things to continue exactly as they are continuing are not able to see the cause of their own demise. But I guess it's short-sightedness in the extreme.
It could be greed, too, Neil. They may think they're the ones that are going to be okay, and that's sad.
Well, yes, it is. I can't imagine. Yes, I guess that is the point of view, that if you've got enough power and enough money, you can escape all the ill effects that are going to be visited upon this planet. But that is short-sighted in the extreme, for sure. I can't imagine that anyone could really hold that as their thought. But I see where you're going, and I guess I have to agree with you. I find when I talk to individuals, even individuals in power, and I've talked to people in some very powerful places on this planet, some names that would surprise you, I suspect, in high places in politics, and in high places in economics, and even in religion. And when I talk to individuals, to a person virtually, they agree with me. But there's something systemic going on. There's something that happens systemically that shifts the prevailing notion and causes energies to move in a way that seems like a runaway train. So what we have to do is get enough of those individuals, even the individuals in high places, who agree that we are moving in the wrong direction, to stand up and do something about it. The difficulty is, of course, that the people who are in the highest places just simply can't give themselves permission to do that. So the book, What God Wants, is a very dangerous book.
How many people believe that God is just going to reach down and pluck us up and save us all? Because I don't think it's going to happen that way. But a lot of people, I think, believe that, Neil.
Oh, my gosh. Many, many, many millions of people do. The Left Behind books are the best-selling books in the world. And it's astonishing. It's amazing that the millions of people believe exactly what you've just said, that God has a personal agenda, and that God is going to reach down and, just as you've just described it, pluck up his followers, those who have been loyal to him, who have come to him along a particular and very narrow path, and leave the rest of us behind. We'll all be left behind. So there's nothing to worry about. And there's now an increasingly large percentage of the population that believes that, to the point where they don't care anymore what happens on this planet. That's why they're not opposing what the Bush administration is doing to rape the environment. They don't care where we drill for oil or what we're doing at all in any one of a number of ways, because they see these as the end times. and they actually encourage those end times. I mean, they actually are, they're not, they stand in no place of fear, and they are almost applauding our slow but inexorable march to our own demise.
Do you think the book of Revelation, for example, is an accurate prophecy, or is it a bunch of, probably won't happen?
I don't think that the book of Revelation is accurate. It's certainly not literally true. I think that the book of Revelation, like the whole Bible, contains some wisdom and contains some insight and contains some window onto possibilities and wisdoms by which we can live. But I don't believe in any way that the book of Revelations is literally true. Nor do I believe that the Bible itself is literally true. And I think that the book of Revelations simply stands as a revelation of the way things could occur on this planet if we keep on moving in the direction in which we are now moving. But specifically, these specific outcomes, these specific events that are predicted in the book of Revelations, I think are mythologies meant to wake up the planet to what it is doing to itself. You may or may not know, George, that I wrote a book 2 years ago called The New Revelations that
Yes.
addresses a great many of the issues that humanity is facing today from a different point of view.
Yeah, indeed. It's a different perspective. You know, it's a perspective based on where we are today. And, you know, when the book of Revelation was written, it was based on where we were then. And times change, and people need to adapt to that.
Well, here's something interesting. Consider this. Humanity has made enormous progress in our technologies. Humanity has made breathtaking progress in our medical sciences, even to some degree in our political sciences, the end of communism and so forth. Major shifts and changes have taken place. It's taken longer, but those things have occurred. In fact, we have moved forward in virtually every area of human activity and endeavor, with the one exception being the most important area, and that's our theology. And we've moved forward in those other areas because we have had a willingness to question the prior assumption. Indeed, the desire to question the prior assumption is what has led science and technology and medical science, etc., to create and to come up with the extraordinary, I want to say, inventions and innovations that have produced the progress that we are now enjoying. But there is no room for innovation, no room for invention, no room even for questioning in the area of theology. And so, in every area except the most important area, we have a willingness to question the prior assumption. In theology, it's exactly the opposite. So it is as if we were going into a modern operating room, preparing to do brain surgery with a very sharp stone, because we are trying to use theologies from thousands and thousands of years ago, just as you've just pointed out, in these modern times, and apply those theologies on present-day problems. And they don't fit. They simply don't fit.